Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. We try to cut through the propaganda. I think arguably the biggest story in the United States of America right now is the border crisis and what's continuing to unfold. And the members of Congress, of course, fighting over this. The House of Representatives just a short time ago saying, hey, if this Senate bill comes over to the House, it's dead on arrival. But we've got some new information from the southern border as it relates to sanctuary cities and the types of people that have been pouring across the border. We're going to go live to the border in just a moment.
Plus, Tucker Carlson in Russia, the mainstream media freaking out that you might hear a perspective that they are unwilling to tell you. What could that be? What are they thinking that they might lose? The war narrative. I just gave away the answer, but that's what it is. The ability to sell you a war. That's also the danger of watching Redacted as well.
That's right. And also, we're going to go to Canada because the MAID program, you know, the Medical Assistance in Dying program, that's the nice way of calling it. It's really, you know, of course, a genocide there in Canada. Well, the doctors there in Canada, which they already have a massive doctor shortage, of course, there's now a massive revolt against this MAID program.
They're saying, we don't want to kill patients. Actually, that's not why we became doctors.
Yeah, indeed. So all of that and more as Redacted starts right now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are Clayton and Natalie Morris. We are a married couple. Our producers are David and Philip. They are brothers. It is very much a family show, but in this show, we break down the media narratives to see if we are being told the truth. Most of the time, we're not. We seek the truth, no matter where it may lead us. We have no agenda. We have, other than the sponsors we tell you about on this show, we have no bias. We, most of the time, don't like the news that we report, but we're here to do it with some camaraderie. You come here for camaraderie. So thank you for joining us today. We have a lot of news to get to.
That's right. And we are not, I love how people say, oh, this, you know, some of these people in like alternative media. And I, trust me, I have no idea what the other people do, but like, they're like, oh, that these, some of these people are controlled opposition or whatever. It's like, maybe they are. I don't know who those people are. And we're not, we have nobody that controls us or tells us what to do or what to say on this show. And we certainly are not funded by any big tech companies or anything like that. So we just say what we want. And we try to cover the stories, I think, that are the most important stories and that need global attention and that the mainstream media is ignoring on a large scale. And it's interesting to watch this Tucker story unfolding over the past 24 hours because the mainstream media, they're already putting the smears out, calling the propaganda on Tucker Carlson and how this is being played in the mainstream media. We're going to dive into that.
My mom recently said, who are your competitors? And I was like, liars. That's right. Really it. It's just people who lie. But anyone who has a show that's like ours is a contemporary and helps. So I don't compete with anybody who has a sincere approach to information. But yes, we compete with liars.
Yeah. So liars, you're not welcome in this show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Rumble. We're live on X. So good to see all of you guys tonight. We also have a daily newsletter we'd love for you to subscribe to. It's totally free. It's the best newsletter in the world. It's the way to kick off your morning, every morning, first thing in the morning. Just go to redacted.inc, put in your email address. We don't sell your information or anything like that. And you'll get a great newsletter Monday through Thursday. And we cover about 5 or 6 of the big stories of the day. All of the kids love the newsletter. Like, if you want to be the most informed person on your block, read the Redacted newsletter. So when you have one of these climate alarmists or walking down the street telling you to, you know, start using plastic straws or plastic bags.
No, it's the paper straws.
Paper straws. That's right. You can tell them, no, I read the Redacted newsletter. That's a bunch of garbage. I'm not doing that. Anyway, go to redacted.inc, put in your email address. You'll receive a welcome email. You just have to confirm it. And then tomorrow morning, on Tuesday morning, you'll get the newsletter about 7 a.m. Eastern time. And like I said, you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee. Or if you're in Australia reading the newsletter, like many of our viewers do, you can read it at night for your with your nightcap. So it's redacted.inc.
Oh, Philip wants us to keep talking because he seems to have lost a connection. So, we are not yet going to go to that story.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so yeah, let's tell you, I don't know what's going on here with our internet. We must have some sort of an issue here. Let's just check in on the chat room here and see what's going on here. Let's see how everyone's doing tonight. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. We're having some technical issues because some sort of a connection with our team is down. Not really sure exactly what's going on there. Can't hear anybody, but hopefully you guys are still there. Let us know in the comments if you guys can still hear us, if you guys can still see us.
So some stories that we have not yet covered, but today breaking news that King Charles has some form of cancer. We're not exactly sure. We'll break that down in the newsletter tomorrow. But interestingly enough, today in the newsletter, we had a story about how the World Health Organization says cancer is more prevalent than ever, and they expect it to explode by 77%. That's interesting, don't you think? Interesting timing, given that they are also testing a cancer vaccine. So, okay, we wish the king well.
Oh, good. All right. All right. So now we've got, we've got the team in Texas. Let's see if we can get to the Texas story. Okay. So yeah. Well, U.S. border crossings are at an all-time high. Arguably, this is the most important story to Americans right now. What is happening at the U.S. southern border in 2022? Look at this. We set a new record, 2.2 million illegal border crossings. Those numbers do not include crossings at official checkpoints. That, according to the New York Times, back in 2022. The U.S. set a new record under President Biden with 2.5 million just last year. Again, these are numbers we're getting from the Biden administration, so take this with a grain of salt. We probably think it's way higher than that. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement deported more than 142,000 immigrants in the fiscal year 2023, according to them. 142,000. So you see how these numbers are totally out of whack? Again, those numbers are totally from the Biden administration here. The rest of them, of course, have been given cell phones. They've been given paychecks. They're given money to live in the United States. They, of course, will be voting in the United States as well, which is all part of the plan. So it all works out in the end for Democrats. Or does it? Listen to Obama's chief strategist, David Axelrod, who just admitted over the weekend that the busing of illegal immigrants into these sanctuary cities, into these Democrat-held cities, is actually changing the game. Listen.
You know, whatever you think about what Governor Abbott has done, it was diabolically clever because by shipping these migrants to cities that call themselves now I'm forgetting the phrase, but
sanctuary cities.
Yeah. He has created issue. I come from Chicago. Chicago has been torn apart by this issue. New York has been torn apart by this issue. And suddenly Democrats are engaged in this issue in a different way mm-hmm. than they had been. So that has been very effective.
Well, to comment on all of that, plus the bill that's currently being debated in Congress, is a man who is a former U.S. Green Beret. He's a war correspondent, and he is arguably one of the most knowledgeable individuals on the border crisis in the world. He is at the southern border in Texas. He left Panama at the Darien Gap. He's now in Texas where the drama is unfolding. That is Michael Yon. Michael, welcome back to the show, my friend. Good to see you.
Thanks, Clayton. I'm back in Texas now, actually in Dripping Springs. As you can see, there was some big events in the last week in Texas, down at Eagle Pass and other places still unfolding. And that Al-Qaeda that's reported in Colorado, I'm not even paying attention to the details because the details I've learned through years of doing this sort of thing are actually somewhat irrelevant on the larger scale. I'm looking at the larger invasion. I mean, you know, they could pull out 50 or 500, but these are just basically you're pulling out a few roaches and there's an entire colony, and there are colonies everywhere. They're coming across every single day. And keep in mind, even people that are not Al-Qaeda or Hezbollah or Hamas today or some other group, they will be tomorrow because they're raising children like this, right? We already know that. We've seen it for not just years, but generations. And so basically the news that they've captured maybe, you know, the reports, 50 Al-Qaeda in Colorado, to me, that's almost yesterday's news. Because what I specialize in is more on the ground intelligence and analysis of what's coming tomorrow. And what's coming tomorrow is clearly straight up full-scale kinetic civil war. It's clearly coming. The ball is in motion. It's not about sparks. It's not about any of that. It's all about conditions. Ask any serious military officer, and they'll tell you it's not about sparks. It's always about conditions. And what do they always tell you? When I was in the Army, military officers were always handing me history books. Read the history, Michael. Read the history. And now I've read all kinds of stacks of history books, and I've gone out and I've seen history made in front of my eyes, and that's what's happening right now. We're being invaded. Now, with these buses that are busing people up to places like New York and whatnot, Chicago, those are feel-good moments. They make people feel good. Hey, we're teaching them a thing or two. But in fact, we're taking the hypodermic needle and shooting it straight into our heart. The border is still open, bottom line, period. All these other things are just play. The National Guard versus the feds or whatever, the border remains open, period. And now I'm down in Darien Gap all the time, as you know. I was just down there with Brett Weinstein and Chris Martinson and Ann Vandersteel and Misako Ganaha, who's been on your show, and was just down there with them again. And you see the camps are expanding in size. The flows are much more efficient now than they used to be. They've increased from 60 buses to 200 buses. Those are people after they make it through the Darien Gap, they get on buses and they start to head to the United States. So, I mean, I'm watching the infrastructure grow in Ecuador and Colombia and Panama and all the way up through. I was just over in Guatemala talking with intelligence people in Guatemala, and you can see that the United States is installing approximately 8 more camps into Guatemala. These are things that people know. Guatemala is actually a more serious funnel than Panama is. But Panama, I spend so much time in Panama because we also have the canal there. So Panama is one of the most vital terrains on Earth, especially for the United States. And so and Panama is where you can pick up a pulse of what's actually going on.
You know, Billy Meyer have been talking about this going back to the 1940s and 1950s about the wave of Islamists rolling into the United States, the Islamic fundamentalists. You've been predicting this for many, many years, this flood that's coming, and people are simply sitting back and allowing it to happen. And you hear this debate in Congress over the past few hours. So just a few short hours ago, you have Speaker of the House Mike Johnson going back and forth with Jerry Nadler of New York. And Jerry admits on camera the reason that they want these individuals in the United States is to change the voter rolls and to allow them to vote. Take a listen to this.
That's not true. The New York City Council voted in December to allow this. It begins January 9, 2023. Cities in Vermont and Maryland already allow this, and similar measures are under consideration in Illinois, Maine, and Massachusetts right now.
If the gentleman will yield?
Yes.
I believe those are considerations of allowing votes in municipal elections only.
Right, thank you. That's the point. Everybody wants to know at home, why would they allow this? Guys, they're allowing it because they're going to turn them into voters. That's what this is about. That's why we're jumping up and down and screaming, my friends on the video who are commenting about this. That's why we're so upset, because our constituents are frightened that we are losing our country. We're losing our security, we're losing our sovereignty, because we're going to allow people from 160 different countries around the world to come in here and decide our elections. That's it. Here it is on record. You all heard it. I'm out of time. I yield back.
So right there on camera, admitting, Democrats are saying, yeah, we're just going to allow them. We're going to allow them to vote in these municipal elections. That it won't be a national election. Oh, okay. That's okay. So it is replacement. This is exactly what's happening, right?
Right. And keep in mind, this isn't just about the voting. Voting is just an intermediate step to full takeover, right? And once you've and they're allowing them to join the military now, great police point. Forces, intelligence, and that's for years we've had Chinese communists joining our highest levels, Department of Homeland. We got people with the highest security clearances who people can't even understand them because of their Mandarin-based accents, right? I mean, I hear so many things from inside those circles. We've literally got people that should not even be in the United States who have the highest security clearances working in communication centers and embassies and that sort of thing. We're totally up. We have to do we're going to have to get quite serious about this.
So when we get serious about it, I mean, what does that involve? I mean, you brought up a great point, like this feel-good moment of busing these illegal immigrants up to Chicago so we can stick it to Lori Lightfoot when she was mayor. We can stick it to Eric Adams and, hey, you want your sanctuary cities? That's great. But what we should be doing is putting those, you know, if we have them, put them in those buses and turning them right around and heading back. So they're debating this craziness in Congress right now. What do we need to do right now? You're talking to Customs and Border Protection all the time. You're talking to these guys who want to protect the United States. Do they feel like they're getting the resources that they have, that they need in order to carry out their job?
There are a lot of serious patriots still in the military and in, for instance, Border Patrol. I've never seen an organization leak more than Border Patrol. I mean, that's a sign of their morale right there. They are patriots. They want to save the United States. A lot of the other people on Border Patrol, I'm down there at the border a lot. A lot of them are just like gears in a clock, and they don't even know what time it is. In fact, they don't even know their gears in a clock. They're just, I'm doing my job, sir. How often do we hear that? You know, we grew up hearing stories about World War II, and then I was lucky enough to be stationed in Germany in the Army. And, you know, and I went and I studied a lot of these historical things that unfolded that were quite intense, obviously, genocide. And one of the reframes that we often heard was, I was just following orders, just doing my job. And I literally hear that on our U.S. border. Often people are like, look, I'm just doing my job. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my pension. I'm like, do you understand? They will be loading you on buses soon. Right. And it's with a one way ticket. This is very deadly serious. But you can see how the average man, a common man, can just be like a gear in the machine. One retired colonel told me, he said, Michael, organizational structure dictates outcome. Right. Organizational structure dictates outcome. And that's, you know, just distilled truth right now. We've got this organizational structure that is now can be weaponized against us and has been. You see people like Lori Lightfoot and Biden and Obama. These aren't the causative agents. These are products of causative agents, right? Obama is just a poison fruit on a tree that was planted long before he was born, right? I went to his school, by the way, twice, that, you know, where he went to elementary school. I went to that school twice over in Jakarta in Indonesia. He acts like he's some poor black child. Let me tell you what, look up Obama's school on Google Earth and you see nothing around it. It's like the Beverly Hills of Jakarta. It's a bunch of huge estates. It's high wall. Just look on Google Earth. I've been down there. I've been to a school twice. And they've got a statue of him there. I think they don't like him too much, actually, based on my last trip there.
So these are all people that are just part of the cogs in a machine that's part of this replacement theory that has been happening now for the past few decades. Go back to listen to Biden, you know, back 20 years ago talking about this. Listen to him just a number of years ago with Mayorkas talking about the takeover where they want to have this replacement. So I don't want to be 30,000 foot level, Michael. You're on the ground. You're seeing the mechanics of this unfolding every day. When we talk about a civil war in the United States, what are we exactly talking about? Like, what sides are we going to see? We're not talking North versus South, Mason-Dixon line. What are we talking about here?
Civil wars can be incredibly complex, right? They're it's like who runs the jungle? You know, I was just down in the jungle in Darien with Brett Weinstein, and we were talking about the same thing. And I said, you know, you're an evolutionary biologist. You know, if somebody asks you who runs the jungle, what are you going to say? You know, I mean, nobody, God runs the jungle, right? And civil war, especially one in such a complex environment that we have in the United States, I've been all over the United States, by the way. I've seen this country in great detail. And I mean, coast to coast, back and up and down from Key West all the way up, you know. And one thing about the United States is we have a very complex and dynamic environment, which is now being overwhelmed by people that can't even speak English. They have no idea what human rights are, and they don't care, right? And that's one of the reasons they're being brought in. It's Tower of Babel. As you know, I'm often over in Europe looking at the same thing. They're at a slightly more advanced stage than we are, but we're catching up quickly. We've talked about Tri-State City on your show before. Tri-State City is an area between Netherlands, Belgium, and Germany where huge amounts of aliens are being pumped in order to take and create a smart city there, basically supplant all the Dutch farmers, and not just farmers. You always hear about the farmers. It's also the fishermen, right? It's also many other people that are key to keeping Netherlands going. Who's going to keep Netherlands going when they're gone? Who's going to keep Netherlands above water, right? I mean, quite literally, you know, and so it's the same in Germany and and Belgium and all of these places, they're being supplanted. The people that created those countries and the people that keep those countries moving. You know, one thing I saw about Al-Qaeda, by the way, in Iraq, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, they're very good at like knocking off a city, like in Bakuba. They knocked out, you know, killed the politicians, ran them off, that sort of thing. But they can't run a water they can't run a water plant. They can't keep the lights on. They're a bunch of flying monkeys, right? And that's what's happening here. We're being replaced with flying monkeys because it's easy to be the arsonist, right? It's hard to actually be the architect that creates such an incredible country as the United States or Netherlands. There are quite a few incredible countries.
So are we talking about the fight really being between those who want to keep our country and those who are invading? Or are we talking about a more homegrown form of civil war in the United States, those who want to support this invasion? Or are we simply talking like Red Dawn style? They're coming across the border. Those that care about the United States are going to stand firm and try to protect the United States from this invasion.
All the above. I mean, the Red Dawn is unfolding right now with the Chinese specifically, right? Not to mention all the various ecosystems of Islamic terrorists. You know, I mentioned a couple nights ago in Dripping Springs, right out this window, actually on a stage, I just talked for a couple minutes and I talked about HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Now, I'm often talking about Catholic charities. I'm often talking about Lutheran refugee services and that sort of thing. And I'm often talking about them, but I focused on HIAS specifically because Mayorkas is under impeachment hearings now, and Mayorkas was a board member on HIAS, right? So he was a board member of the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and he is actually, you can see on HIAS.org, HIAS.org, they're actually congratulating Mayorkas for taking over Department of Homeland Security, right? Now, when he flew down to Darien on April 18th of 2022, I was there waiting for him. Came in four Blackhawks, landed right in front of me. I waited for 4 days. He landed right in front of me, went inside of this camp, which is about 40 yards away from the HIAS headquarters in Darien. In fact, it was a place I tried to rent. It's a house right in front of China Camp. We call it China Camp, right? And in Darien, they call it San Vicente Camp. But I actually was working to rent that house, and then HIAS got it out from under me. So HIAS actually is right in front of China Camp, the camp that's being used for Chinese to invade the United States and others. Syrians go through that camp every single day, as do Venezuelans, which means Hezbollah goes through constantly, right? And so China Camp is the camp that he went to and poured more money into and increased in size and efficiency. You should see the drone footage of the day that he's in there, April 18th, 2022, and what it looked like about 3 weeks ago when I was down there last time, right? I mean, it's tremendously larger. And by the way, the trailers in China Camp, San Vicente Camp, called, you know, that's what they call it in Panama, San Vicente, the trailers are made in China, by the way. So American money, and HIAS is, so that's why I'm talking about HIAS. Naturally, there was Antifa here at this speech that I gave, actually, and got doxxed since then. Last night was doxxed. And said that when I was talking about HIAS, it was anti-Semite, anti-Jew. I was saying very clearly Jewish money is being used to pull in Hezbollah, who will clearly end up in Fort Lauderdale on a golf course screaming Allahu Akbar, right? I mean, and you can't make up this stuff, you know, and you've
but got... They'll call you an anti-Semite.
Warning you not to take the jab. I'm warning you not to, you know, I'm warning you not to keep funding these people coming through. They're going to show up in a synagogue in Brooklyn. And yet, you know, that's anti-Semitism to Antifa, of course. But Antifa is part of that ecosystem of information warriors.
Well, we're watching this unfold. We're going to see what happens in the House of Representatives with this bill. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, it's laughable that they're literally including these provisions in here for voting. Of course, we're seeing this happening right before our eyes. Americans need to wake up. That's why we're continuing to follow the story. It's, I think, the most important story in America right now. It's going to influence the United States for decades to come. Michael Yon is at the border. He's going to be monitoring things down there over the next few weeks before he heads back to Panama, watching that the migrant flows from Panama up into the United States. Hopefully Congress wakes up and pays attention to the story that we're covering here. Michael, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Clayton. Doc Chambers really wanted to come on, but he got called away. And anyway, he wishes his best.
Yeah, Doc was going to be on with you tonight, so we'll get Doc on real soon. So tell him we're sorry we missed him tonight. But you guys are doing great work down there, and continued great work to you guys down there. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Clayton. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it, Michael. Really appreciate it. And, you know, it's interesting. I think Michael talked there briefly, I think, about Al-Qaeda. And one of the questions that's come up over the past 24 hours is because this gentleman in Colorado has gone viral. This has been viewed now millions of times. And now we have a response from the Denver PD this afternoon, about an hour ago, responding to this video. And there's like a little shaky response here from the Denver PD. Like, what exactly is going on here? So listen to what he had to say about what's happening in Colorado.
So I just had a conversation with a Denver police officer at the airport, and we were talking about the crime that's going on, not only in Denver, but our country. And he says, "The will not tell you this. I'm not even supposed to talk about this, but I don't care anymore. We've arrested the Denver police in Denver has arrested over 50 Al-Qaeda members in the last 2 months. 50. Okay, so with that said, we started talking about everything else. And we started talking about where the budget's going and how they don't have enough police cars. They're going to be putting them on foot. We started talking about all the migrants that have been coming over the border and how they're cutting the police budget in all major cities, including Denver. And then we started talking about how there's sleeper cells all over Colorado. He's talking about South Americans. He's talking about people from Central America. He's talking about people from China. He's talking about people from the Middle East, all over. And he says, the police know this. The state police and the local police, and they're not allowed to do a damn thing about it.
So now this afternoon, we have a response from the Denver PD. They came out and said, you know, there's this video about, you know, 50 Al-Qaeda members, and they just said it's not true. Now, a lot of people are responding saying, well, what part of it's not true? And they linked to, and the Denver PD then linked to, two arrests and two cases right now that the feds are handling as it relates to material support for ISIS in Denver. And so they're not dismissing, they didn't dismiss the other piece, big piece of the video, of course, which is all about these sleeper cells and that the fact that the police are being told you can't do anything about it and you're being told sort of hands off about it. So what part of it, like, you're just denying the 50 number? That's easy to say. It could be 48, it could be 50, you'd be like, you know, 30, you'd be like, no, that's not true.
Could be 51.
Well, what part of it's not true?
Well, and it is possible that they're, it's like a loophole of like that. Well, we took them into custody, but they didn't arrest them. So that's technically not 50. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it could be right. Something like that.
Right. A technicality. So is this police officer lying to this guy? Is this guy lying? But they did come out and publish, of course, those other material support for ISIS cases that the feds are dealing with in Colorado. So there is that, and they came across the U.S. border. Mm. So, okay, maybe we don't have the number correct. We'll find out from the Denver PD as people start. Hopefully the Denver press, the Denver newspapers, and the Denver media will do their homework and really dig into this more deeply and try to get answers on this. So.
Well, we have more news to get to. We're going to talk about why the mainstream media and Twitter space is blowing up about Tucker Carlson possibly interviewing Vladimir Putin, worried that their war narrative might crumble, as it already has been for a long time. It should not take one person's journalism to do that. If you have been actually doing your study about the war in Russia, you know that it's based on a lie. It has been for a long time. We're also going to talk about Made in Canada, because now doctors are saying, we don't want to murder the mentally ill. We don't think that's something doctors should be doing. Nobody is going to do that for you. So they put it off by 3 years so that they can convince doctors. We're going to take a look at that story and so much more. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Bank on Yourself. Because, of course, you are being lied to when you were told to max out your 401k or IRA. That's what Tom Wheelwright calls investing with the government in the stock market, as a partner with the government. Do you want to partner with the government? Because they're going to do what's best for them, not best for you. They say you're risking your life savings in the Wall Street casino. They say that's a secure investment. But if you study it, a 401k is at best a mediocre product. That's why Bank on Yourself is a better way to grow and protect your hard-earned money. This retirement plan alternative has never had a losing year in over 160 years. So it is worth your study. Guaranteed predictable growth and retirement income. With Bank on Yourself, your plan doesn't go backwards when the markets tumble. Your principal and growth are locked in. It's tax-free retirement. You'll know what your tax rate is in retirement, which will be be zero under current tax law, which protects you from the current tax tsunami, which we show you every day as we speak over our shoulder here, the national debt clock. Someone's going to have to reckon this. I hope it's not you and your life savings, because with Bank on Yourself, you're in control. So if you want guaranteed, predictable annual growth, control of your money, and tax-free retirement income, go to bankonyourself.com/redacted. You'll get a free report with this proven retirement plan alternative that banks don't want you to know about. Again, go to bankonyourself.com/redacted for your free report. You can study up, think about your future in a smarter way. bankonyourself.com/redacted.
Well, Tucker Carlson is in Moscow. Yeah, that's right. Russia. That's right. He's in Russia. And the corrupt U.S. political class is shaking in its boots over this story. They clearly don't want him to expose their lies about the war in Ukraine or sanctions against Russia or any of the other propaganda that has been spoon-fed to you over the past few years about Russia. And we'll have more on that part of the story in a second. But first, yesterday, the U.S. government approved another $60 billion to be sent to Ukraine. Now, this isn't finalized just yet, but come on, it's going to happen. $60 billion to Ukraine and $14 billion to be sent to Israel. Now, the real question is, do we break that out separately? We just send Israel their money like we do every, you know, few months as a stipend. We break that out of this bill.
Speaker Mike Johnson says he's not going for this. He only wants the Israel piece.
Yeah.
Ukraine, he's a little bit tired of. They never say it's because Ukraine harms civilians, which they did over the weekend, horrific attack on 28 civilians. But civilians, no, it's just about the budget. They never make any.
Well, and if you actually read the bill underneath that part that says about the $60 billion for Ukraine, there's two more lines that say, and possibly a money to Ukraine for this, and if they need it for this. So there's some other hidden things in there to send even more money to Ukraine.
And anyone who wants to take on China. Sorry, I'm stepping on your piece.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, so let's get back to the numbers here. So another $14 billion to be sent to Israel if they break this out of this, right? So if Mike Johnson gets his way, it's broken out, they'll just send them their check like they do every month. Like I guess it's like some sort of an alimony payment. I don't know. But anyway, it's really interesting when you look at why Israel continues to get so much money from the United States and the Israeli foreign exchange reserves. Just a reminder that Israel has a massive surplus of cash, over $200 billion. According to the Bank of Israel, $200 billion. They also have a free universal health care plan. So every Israeli and permanent resident, of course, gets free health care. And, oh, by the way, they have a space agency as well. So Israel, the smallest country by population size, has a space agency. Yes, indeed. Thanks to Senate candidate Sam Parker for posting this on X. So we know about a lot of these things, and the comments is just hilarious on this. So they have a $200 billion surplus. So we should send them another $14 billion just to add into their surplus.
I remind you that aid to Israel was in our COVID relief packages. These are the things that made President Trump hit the roof because the Senate kept bringing him these packages, and he's like, this is not for COVID. Why are we paying Israel? Why are we paying Chile?
And they're like, wait a minute, why is this guy questioning us? This doesn't usually happen in Washington. Someone's questioning us? I don't get this.
And then he would say, scrub this and bring it back to me. And the media would scream.
Yeah. Oh, you don't love Israel? You don't want to send money to Israel? Anyway, just so we're on the same page, just so you understand some history here and where some of this money is going to, that Ukraine is using the American-made HIMARS that we've been sending them to kill innocent individuals. This weekend, Ukraine used HIMARS to destroy a Sunday bakery in Luhansk as people were gathering up on to go to the bakery on a Sunday, killing 28 civilians. A bakery is clearly a military target.
Is that car? What am I looking at?
I don't know. A car being...
I think that's cleanup.
If that's a crane pulling it up or if it stuck on a telephone pole or something. I think they're using a crane to lift up the smashed cars and everything. So U.S. tax dollars at work right there on your screen. Of course, exposing this is really why they don't want Tucker Carlson sitting down for an interview with President Putin. Carlson's audience, of course, is massive, and it's in the millions. Millions of Americans, are about to learn a lot about the war and the lies that have been heaped upon the American people. Neoconservatives are terrified, of course, about all of this because it would upend their narrative. Former chief of staff to the U.S. Vice President Bill Kristol wrote on social networks that perhaps the return of journalist Tucker Carlson to the United States should be completely prevented until the country's representatives can figure out exactly what's happening. Bill Kristol tweeted this: "Perhaps we need a total and complete shutdown of Tucker Carlson re-entering the United States," he wrote on Twitter, "until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on." Really? Look at that. Keep that on your screen. "Perhaps we need a total and complete shutdown of Tucker Carlson re-entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on."
That's not the social contract when you get a passport. That is not the deal. That's illegal.
Yeah. What is that? What? Who is Bill Kristol, a neoconservative, calling on the United States government to shut down his border re-entry as a journalist?
Of course, it's Bill Kristol who loves war. That's who it is.
Right.
That's,
and he also,
the most transparent.
He loves war. And of course, he loves illegal immigration as well. This is the same Bill Kristol who loves the idea of illegal immigrants being used for labor in the United States.
Look, to be totally honest, if things are so bad, as you say, with the white working class, don't you want to get new Americans in who aren't going to be? I'm serious. You can make a case that this is going on too long and this is too crazy, probably. And I hope this thing isn't being, like, you know, videotaped or ever shown anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Imagine they're rolling videotape on you saying it's okay to replace Americans with cheap foreign labor that's pouring across the United States border. Imagine that. Listen to this. In 1998, 5 years after the bombing at the World Trade Center, John Miller, a reporter for ABC News, went to Afghanistan and interviewed the most wanted man in the world, Osama bin Laden. Then he flew back to the United States and posted this interview for ABC News.
In May of 1998, ABC News correspondent John Miller went to Afghanistan to conduct an interview with bin Laden. Bin Laden's appearance was cause for celebration for his men.
All hell breaks loose. Missiles are shot up in the air, tracer bullets, and men love to see him. The words he was using were extremely powerful and frightening. He had three principal issues. One was to remove the U.S. military presence from Saudi Arabia. The other was to end the U.S. support of Israel, particularly as it affected negatively the Palestinians. And three was, at that time, an immediate halt to the bombing of Iraq, and even still now today.
Well, by the way, how do they let a journalist do his job and then return to the United States? Right?
He didn't even tell lies. He said the truth.
No, and he told the truth. And by the way, isn't it funny? He goes, what he said was terrifying. That reporter said what bin Laden said was terrifying, which is end U.S. occupation of these countries, stop bombing Iraq, and stop giving unfettered money to support of Israel, which harms Palestinians. So that reporter said that was terrifying. Just a little side note, just not to editorialize at all on that, of course, but just very interesting, right? But how do they let a journalist, he literally left the United States, went and interviewed the most wanted man in the world, Osama bin Laden. And then they let him back in, and then ABC does a whole report about his time with Osama bin Laden.
Maybe if he were a bigger name, if he were more charismatic, if he were a
Bill O'Reilly
at the time, right? Tucker. Oh, no one's going to care what this guy says for ABC News, and we're doing a good job selling the lie of this war, so it's okay let just one dude through.
I guess, yeah.
And Sean Penn, not even a journalist, didn't he go hang out with like El Chapo or something for a long time and do some?
That's right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's right.
You know?
Not to mention hanging out with a terrorist and a war criminal in Zelensky. That's a whole other animal. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just tweeted this this afternoon saying the legacy media is in shambles because we've caught on to their lies and propaganda. Tucker Carlson has every right to interview Putin. We need more transparency instead of less. It used to be understood journalists would interview world leaders, even those with whom we were at war. Yeah, so, you know, this afternoon, Tucker Carlson sat down with Vladimir Putin, went to the presidential palace, went inside the Kremlin and was there for about an hour, and then left and apparently went to a kebab shop, which has not let an American have kebabs in this America in this kebab shop for like 10 years. It was the first American let into this kebab shop. And the owner of it said, he looks all right. Let's get him some food. Then Sputnik News went out on the streets of Moscow and asked the people there, first of all, do you even know who Tucker Carlson is? You're Russian. are you totally uninformed about what's going on in America? Do you know who Tucker Carlson is? He's apparently here in Moscow. He just interviewed President Putin. What do you think of this guy? And here was their unfettered responses. Watch this.
Сегодняшний день, на мой взгляд, это самый смелый, самый отважный американский журналист, который смело высказывает свое видение, свою позицию.
Такер Карлсон не часто мелькает в новостях, но он правду говорит. Поэтому у него, кстати, проблемы в США из-за этого. Он сейчас, насколько я понимаю, сюда приехал. Вот. И не знаю, пустят ли его обратно.
Я очень уважаю за его смелость, я очень уважаю за его нормальное человеческое мнение о том, что происходит на самом деле, за его разумность, за его логику, за его понимание, где добро, где зло. Вот. И что он не боится это все высказывать, несмотря на то, что он живет в стране, которая заварила всю эту, как это сказать, фашистскую кашу.
Меня поразило, скажем так, откровенность, которой он рассказывает о реальных проблемах, которые есть, ну, в данном случае в Соединенных Штатах. Вот. Очень хорошая подача информации, с хорошим чувством юмора. Я слышал о том, что он вроде бы приехал в Россию. Ну что ж, добро пожаловать.
Я считаю, что держит марку порядочного журналиста. Честного, открытого.
Цепляет тем, что он идет против общей антироссийской пропаганды, которая в США проводится. И он высказывает свое мнение. Вот этим он цепляет.
Ну и надо сказать, что очень положительно отношусь, потому что это объективный журналист, который реально показывает то, что происходит в мире, несмотря на то, что да, его позиции не воспринимаются особенно демократами в США, особенно как бы сторонниками Байдена. Я очень рад, что вот он прибыл в Россию, вот мне тоже рассказали, что он уже посетил Большой театр. И я думаю, что он здесь много чего увидит и узнает, что в России многие к нему относятся очень большим уважением.
So there you go. So that was just a sampling of, and a lot of people in the chat are saying, well, based Russians. Yeah, and they're not going to like this. And the left is certainly not going to like this. And neoconservatives are not going to like this. Bill Kristol and these guys who want a perpetual war are going to jump all over this. See, he was well received in the Russian press,
right?
You know, for doing what? Like, he hasn't even come out and confirmed that he's even there, right, to the Russian people or anything, right? So I just find that.
So the preemptive panic, I think, is what we're trying to point out here. Not just that, the selection of people think this of him in Russia. Of course, they understand. We talked with Mike Jones last week about the most recent candidate that the American West is trying to sell us, that is running against Vladimir Putin. They're telling us he has a popular uprising. And why, right? Why are they telling us this? Because they want to sell this terrorist of Putin. They don't want us to see anything for ourselves.
One thing I thought it was interesting, and we'll talk more about this later, but Tucker told me this morning, you know, he was surprised. He's just like, I can't believe how well this country has been doing under sanctions. He's mm-hmm. like, you wouldn't believe it. And he's like, most Americans have no idea about this. He's like, every American should come and see this, because we've been told that Russia is being crushed under the weight of Biden sanctions.
Not by redacted. You haven't. We've been doing our studying.
I was trying to chime in. My microphone was being weird. Wasn't there a big thing in the lead up to the war with Iraq where didn't like 60 Minutes interview Saddam? And that was like this big to do, or did I dream that? Is that like a,
wow. I'd have to go back. You mean the first Gulf War or the second one?
No, the second one. The second one where I feel like maybe that's just like a Mandela effect and I dreamt that, but I could have swore there was like,
well, I know you're thinking of Mike Wallace certainly, you know, had some amazing, you know, some really big interviews, of course, within Iran. Those were famous interviews, but I don't know about Saddam being interviewed.
I do seem to remember.
Yeah, I see a 60 Minutes interview with Saddam Hussein, September 13th, 2001.
Ah, okay. September 13th, 2001? Days after the
September 13th, 1988. December
1988, I meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you should have checked with the bird. 1988. So, okay, a few years before. But that's when we were friends with Saddam Hussein. That's when Donald Rumsfeld was chummy and we were using Saddam Hussein as a good buddy and a good friend.
He was doing killing on behalf of the CIA.
Right? Yeah.
So happy
to support that. So I think it's just amazing to watch the sort of the media response to this Tucker Carlson interview, because what are they so afraid of? Let's lay it out here. What do you guys in the chat room think that they're so afraid of? They're afraid. Here, I'll give you my opinion first. Because I'm here, is that they're scared, of course, that he'll lay out a narrative showing how the war in Ukraine has been destroying the United States, and point out all of the ways in which the United States is suffering as a result of the war.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll also expose how Putin has been pushing for peace, pushing for a peace agreement, had actually a signed piece of paper, a peace agreement, until the United States and the UK stepped in and intervened and threw it out the window. That'll clearly come out in this interview.
Also, the evils of the attacks on civilians that were aimed at Crimea before Crimea was annexed by a vote that Russia didn't go in and invade. It was actually Russian soldiers that were already in Crimea that held the line, that held Ukrainian SBU soldiers from attacking Crimea. And I think the statistic is between 60 and 80% of Ukrainian soldiers that were stationed in Crimea then turned over to the Russian army and decided, we don't want to attack these people anymore. We never wanted to.
Yeah, it's our family.
Right. And the fact that the Donbas region also voted to join Russia, asked Russia to come in and protect them, that they'd been living a horror for a decade. These are things they don't want you absolutely to see. They want you to think that Putin is irrational.
I hope we talk about I hope we hear about bio labs. What else, David?
Well, I'm just going to say, I think that we are going, I know it's going to happen. We are going to see one of the biggest propaganda campaigns we've seen in a long time from all the pro-Ukrainian people about everything Putin is saying is complete bullshit. Like, none of it's true. Because, I mean, we know that they blocked RT News, so I'm just not looking forward to that campaign because it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. Philip, what do you think? And let us know in the chat what you think. And there's a lot of people weighing in saying, we're going to see, in Sevastopol. Go ahead.
I don't really know. Like, I know it's what we do. It's kind of like news and speculation, but I just don't speculate on things like this. I'll know when I see it, you know.
Julia.
I know it's kind of boring, but.
Yeah. No, Julia says, are we team Russia now? No, we're team peace. Hope that makes that's what I think this whole mission is about. I think that's what this whole speech, this whole interview is about. It's about peace and it's about waking people up, because right now the people that control the media in the United States are warmongers and they are part of the neoconservative deep state, of course, which has been pushing this perpetual military industrial complex, war complex. And it's all you need to do is watch CNN, watch Meet the Press, where they have all these generals and they have all these, you know, these members of the military on their staff of these different news organizations pushing this narrative about war.
Right.
Well, and there's only one side. I mean, you say pick a side or whatever, but there's only one side that is actively calling for peace and trying to get peace and has been very calculated with what they're doing, and that is Russia. You have the Ukraine is just following the footsteps of the United States, and they're just pro-war. They were going to go negotiate peace, and Boris Boris Karloff,
Johnson
went over there and talked him out of the deal. So there's only one side that is trying to get peace. So that is why it's important that Tucker goes over there, so people can hear that Russia has been calling for peace from the very beginning. By saying we choose a side, we do choose the side of peace, but there's only one side choosing peace, trying to choose peace right now.
Right. We don't have to like what we're reporting, but we've studied the narratives of this war and their lies. If that comes off as if we like Russia or support Russia, I'm sorry that you can't make a distinction between the fact that we understand that we're being sold lies and we don't know like what we think of Russia. We've never been there. We know that our government sells us lies and people die on both sides, and we don't like that.
Julia in our chat says she was joking. Okay, so Julia was joking.
I think she understands.
Russia,
yeah, no, it's Russia not thing. Her that, but we see some more direct comments that just set my hair on fire. Like, they're pro-Russian bots, and I want to step on your foot for saying that and not being a more critical thinker.
No, I'm pro-human, by the way. I'm pro all the civilians that have been killed. I'm pro making sure that these people are protected. I'm pro, you know, not military industrial complex. So the corrupt government of Ukraine that has been partnering up with NATO and killing innocent people and leading to this massive war that we're about to see throughout Scandinavia, which is coming, they are doing this, putting NATO right on the doorstep here. They are fomenting this war. We knew it back in Bill Clinton's day and before, way before that, by the way. All right, we've got more news to get to here on your, what is it, Monday?
It's Monday.
Holy smokes, it's not Thursday
also,
yet?
Also, I said I'm pro-peace, but I did say also I want to step on people's feet for saying bad things about us.
That's
so
very vicious.
I'm sorry about that.
It's vicious.
I am anti-violent.
Yeah, but you are a non-pacifist. Peace, yeah, non-pacifist, peace extremist. So.
Right. That's how I'm not pacifist, is if you know, exactly. If you vote for war or you sell lies for war... I do very much want to step on your foot.
Marvin Vargas says, redacted, is Putin paying you? LOL. How dare you question the U.S. government? Exactly, Marvin. Exactly. Very, very good. All right. We've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about mental illness in Canada. Why is there a massive doctor revolt in Canada saying no to the Trudeau government's MAID program? The Medical Assistance in Dying program will tell you about that. Plus, we're also going to look at the Irish farmer revolt. We should be paying attention to what's happening in Ireland. You're wanting to cull over 200,000 and cows. The government says, that's how we're going to combat climate change. You need to kill all of your cattle. Yeah, that'll help things. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, hey, since we're talking about delicious food, right, we're talking about farmers, we're talking about providing for our families. Right now, you can get 50% off your order when you try Factor. Our friends over at Factor, they make delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your front door. Makes every day easy. My gosh, we're picking up kids, they've got soccer practice, they've got all this, it becomes crazy, right? You're running around, you're working hard, you've got your kids in school, they're doing sports, whatever else. You need to have some delicious meals ready to go certain nights of the week, and that's where Factor comes in. They've got chef-prepared, crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from: keto, calorie smart, vegan, plus veggie. You can get regular meat if you want, like we choose. It's totally up to you where you want to go. They have everything, every choice possible. There's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons to make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. You got two-minute meals, so you can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat. And wherever you want to take them to lunch at your office, you can do that. Snacks, smoothies, and more. You can sign up and save. And we've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout food, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. No prep, no messy meals. Factor's meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. There's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. So head over to factormeals.com. That's an S. You have to put that S on there. Factormeals.com/redacted50. Use that code redacted50 to get 50% off your first box and two free wellness shots per box while subscription is active. That's code redacted50 at factormeals.com/redacted50 to get 50% off your first box and two free wellness shots per box while your subscription is active.
Well, Canada will not kill off the mentally ill until at least 2027. Because no doctor wants to do that. So here's what they're saying, because the doctors are saying, we don't want to help people who are mentally ill die. They're saying, we'll train them. We're going to train them to do that. We need 3 years to do it. In other words, they have held panels on this topic for more than 2 years. Doctors have told them this is unethical. So what it is the Medical Assistance in Dying program in Canada that was sold to the Canadian public as a way to help people with terminal illnesses have better deaths, more peaceful deaths. Well, they decided just a few years ago they wanted to roll it out to people with mental illness as well. And that was supposed to happen in March of 2024. But politicians panicked because they had no way to ethically do it. So now they're saying, because they held all these panels, they had all these experts saying, we can't give you standards for this. It's actually pretty stinking terrible. They're saying, we'll reprogram you. And you will do it, doctor. So if you took one of those oaths to do no harm, you're going to do some harm. They really need you to do it. This program, again, was set to be extended to people with mental illness. But now they're saying, hold, please. we're going to do it in 2027. Here is how they put it. Here's the announcement on it. The government of Canada introduces legislation to delay medical assistance in dying expansion by 3 years. Hold your horses. We're going to get to it. So they say, you know, why are we doing this today? In their statement, the Honorable Mark Holland, the Minister of Health, made this announcement. And this is what he says. He says, we need this extra 3 years to provide practitioners with more time to participate in training and become familiar with available supports, guidelines, and standards. They already told you they don't want to do it. They don't want to do this. But no, no. Look at this. Look at this writing.
But we just need to retrain you. I know you say you don't want it, but that's just the non-training talking.
What about we don't want to do this? Do you not understand? Go ahead, David.
I'm just saying this is we need 3 years so that the pharmaceutical industry can go in and rewrite the curriculum and start training these new students coming out how to do it, because they'll be able to get them on board.
Right. Mm,
yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah. So why do they want this to happen so badly? Why do they want to be killing off the mentally ill? Now, we know
Malthusian. This is Malthusian.
Yes.
This is an extension of eugenics.
That was kind of a rhetorical question, but thank you for answering it. Yes, I appreciate your opinion on it. Yes.
The eugenics program never went away. I mean, we kind of pretend that it went away. It's still here, alive and well. All you need to do is look at Canada.
Right. Now, they say they're going to start a joint parliamentary committee to undertake a comprehensive review. They did that. They already have been doing that for the last 3 years. In the last 3 years, so they want three more years, but the last 3 years they've been doing this, and they came up with the big goose egg where doctors are saying, we don't think that this is a good idea. We can't come up with any standards. They seem, now, what I was going to say, and actually from your reporting on this, is that we know that they have a really high acceptance rate. I think it's like 60% of people who apply for MAID just get it, with very low critical thought on whether somebody is actually terminal or not.
Right.
We know that they promote it for people with non-terminal disease. We've seen that. We know that they're trying to expand this into young people, what they call mature minors. So how long until this horse cannot be put back in the barn and actually it's just gone too far and people are being declared mentally ill and then being sentenced to death without being a part of that process at all? It's not too far. It's not too much of a stretch given how this has been rolled out and implemented. Now, again, they're saying they need 3 years, but let's look at what they've done in the panels for the last 3 years. We've been over this over the last few weeks. One of the problems that they just can't surmount is that they don't know what constitutes an incurable illness. Cancer, they got it. Someone's got 2 months to live. They understand what's happening at a cellular level. For mental disease, they don't know. Take a look at this testimony from a Dr. Gupta at the Parliament. He says, the debate between those who say an illness cannot be deemed irremediable and those who say it can is the result of the fact that they use different definitions. So we're talking about mental illness. How do you know someone cannot be cured from a mental illness? What he says here at the bottom, the devil is in the details. Well, clearly the government does not have those details, cannot decide on someone who has a mental illness that's incurable. So we can't just make them the devil to come up with the details that results in death. You see, this is where this plan should have stopped. We can't do it. We cannot do it. They don't know who is actually at risk for suicide. Take a look at this from this panel. This doctor says some witnesses say that suicidality may be a symptom of a mental disorder, but many people with mental disorders are not suicidal. So we're not actually, there's not an efficiency where it's like, well, Janice was going to kill herself anyway, so we might as well beat her to it.
Right.
Do they plan to help all this high percentage of trans people we have that are committing suicide? Like, are they plan to help them instead of say that that's a bad thing? Now that's going to be a good thing?
That's actually a good point, given that they sell us fact. No, I'm not. I'm not shocked. David makes them all the time.
You said the way you said that's actually.
I didn't mean that.
Put that qualifier in there.
I'm sorry, David. Did that hurt your feelings?
It hurt my feelings.
No, not at all.
No, it's a great point.
Don't argue in front of our audience. It makes them uncomfortable when we bicker.
They're not uncomfortable at all. Our audience is the least uncomfortable audience in the world. But I'm curious about not only the trans agenda, but also on the antidepressant agenda, because over 40% of Canadians, according to the data, have a frequency use of antidepressants. So if we see this connection now to suicides in the United States and antidepressant use, like, this is a huge concern. This is a huge concern, right? Well, so then, who's mentally ill, and then who's just on these antidepressants that's making them mentally ill or making them suicidal? And then, got to go to the MAID program,
right? And this idea that David brings up, that suicidality is something that they're thinking, well, you were gonna do it anyway. Just let us do it, right?
Well, yeah, but if you think about how many people like attempt suicide and fail. Like, this is basically the government saying, no, we're taking away that failure point from people. Like, if you want to commit suicide, let the government do it, and we have 100% success rate.
I mean, and we won't fail.
And we won't fail. But it's like, I'm not seeing where they're factoring that in. That a lot of times an attempt for suicide is not necessarily suicidality, but like just a cry for help. You take away that cry for help, then the government's just ensuring that these people die.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's incredibly troubling. And I should point out, when I say the antidepressant use in Canada, it's people who've had antidepressant episodes that are over 40% of those individuals are on antidepressants. Those people who've had depressive episodes, large scale depressive episodes, are then on antidepressants. So, and we now know the linkage to, of course, mental problems and suicidal risks as a result of these antidepressants. Just go right through the MAID program. It's an easy, then you're on all these pharmaceuticals all the way through the whole process.
Right. This same doctor said that 40 to 50% of people who actually die by suicide do not have a serious mental health diagnosis. Sometimes suicide is spontaneous or is situational. So that could still be happening. This is by no means an answer to the problem of suicide. It's not even close. He worries that MAID for mental illness would be suggesting a problem that, you know what, you're not going to get better. In Canada, we've decided mental illness is terminal. And so, okay, you know, this is an off-ramp for people. Also, take a look at this expert testimony from Mr. Krauser, saying that he would have chosen MAID in his darkest days, and he actually got better. So there's many experts who've testified to Parliament saying we'd be killing off people, not giving them a chance to get better. And a lot of people do get better. We have the tools as humans to get better. And lastly, they don't know how many people would choose this for things that are related to hardship, and they could be masked as mental illness. It says people could choose MAID due to suffering. Suffering is not a mental illness. It is part of the human experience. I'm sorry if that's news to you, but suffering,
right,
not mental illness, right? And so people could say, well, I'm poor. I lack adequate housing, social exclusion. Social exclusion, so many things could fall into that. Other determinants of health, rather than due to their illness, and they could just say, yes, you want me to be mentally ill? I will. Then put in the needle.
Think about how many people this is going to stop from coming forward if they do. It's like police are going to be walking down the street. Hey, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm not unhappy. That's for sure. I am not depressed. I am perfectly sane and happy.
I'm so happy. did I not have a smile on my face? I'm just on my way down the street to get a job at Disney World.
Yeah, it's like a much darker version of brain candy. You know, the kids in the hall skit.
Yeah, the kids in the hall movie. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's really troubling. But it's frightening to think about that. To your point, that this would, like, you could put, I don't have adequate housing. So someone, because they're pushing this so hard, we've already seen reports of this.
Right.
Oh, you're poor. Well, here's a way out for you.
Right. We've seen social media posts where someone says, my daughter was dealing with this depression or whatever, and they literally brought it up in the hospital, things like that. What's so interesting, Clayton brought out last week, is they still want to be woke while doing this incredibly sinister thing. something that they said they still need to do as part of their panels. They didn't do it in the last 3 years, but they think they might get to it now, is consult with Indigenous peoples in Canada, because they have what they call, take a look, unique perspectives on death, which need to be considered. So do Christians. So do Muslims. The Bible definitely does not give you the right to take your own life. I've studied enough to know that. So why does only one culture get to be consulted about this, but not others? Anybody?
I don't know. Again, it's the wokeness, right? It's woke policies, right? It's you don't matter. Like, if you're Christian, you don't matter.
Right.
You don't matter.
If you're not Indigenous, doesn't matter what you think. You can say, this offends my spirituality, but you're not Indigenous, so your spirituality is really not important or interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what we're seeing in the United States, right? This is absolutely the case. Someone in the chat room just says, yes, from Canada, and this is true. That's exactly what's happening, is that homelessness would qualify you for MAID. Another person from Canada in our chat room here on Rumble says, yes, that they're culling Indigenous people. They're trying to get rid of the Indigenous people in Canada by culling them.
Right. And I mean, because we just annoyed each other right there. And I was thinking, if we had an argument, like a marital spat, right? And then your neighbor could call the police and be like, one of them is not right in the head. You got to look into them.
What if you get like a call one afternoon? You're like, hi, this is the MAID program. I'm calling for Clayton. We had a report from Natalie Morris that you're viable for the MAID program. Would you like us to come over and teach you about the program?
Definitely don't come here. Right. You can see how this could be weaponized in a way.
I know we're making fun of like the ridiculousness of it.
You're going to hear a slight high-pitched sound over the phone for a few seconds, and then that's it.
And you'll be, someone in our chat room said, you remember the episode of Star Trek, the original series in the 60s, they had suicide booths set up. It's like, oh, it's your time. Your time. Go down to the booth. Your number was called this afternoon. Go down to the booth, you know? And that's what it's going to come to.
Right.
So people, it's a permit. Well, the thing is, like, is to bring up a point that you brought up before, This is a permanent solution to what is oftentimes a temporary problem. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, because you, right. You know, it's like they're who's determining. I'm sorry. I can barely wrap my head around this conversation,
but it's also, It's also the same thing with the trans movement. Right. And and gender reassignment surgeries, right. It's a permanent solution to a temporary, affliction in adolescence, usually, which usually resolves itself at the end of adolescence.
But there's conflicting narratives because they keep telling us, hey, mental health is worse than ever. You need to get help. We can help you. There are professionals that can help you. There are pharmaceuticals that can help you. But then they're also on the other side of the coin saying, nobody can help you. You might as well just die. So which one is it? Right. And I mean, what I think I've made the point many times is I reject the therapeutic state from top to bottom. I don't want help from any of these efforts, none, right? And so that's how I feel about it. I think that they're selling us the idea of mental illness the same way they sell you cars, climate, solutions, all of that stuff. That scares me. What scares me also is we already have a template for how they will reprogram professionals. We've seen it with Jordan Peterson. If you follow that saga, Jordan Peterson is a psychologist who is guilty of wrongthink for criticizing the Canadian government for COVID lockdowns, criticizing trans ideology, all manner of wrongthink. Now, over the last few years, he was told that he would have to go through reprogramming, apologize for what he said on X, or he would lose his license. He appealed this, but he lost. And so is this one of the ways they will reprogram mental health professionals or medical professionals or all of the above? Here is his announcement last January, just a few weeks ago, that the higher court has ruled with the College of Psychologists that they have the right to sentence me to re-education camp. So think about it. You're a doctor, a psychologist who says, I will not be a part of this. I will not sign off on my patients dying. I cannot do it. If Jordan Peterson has to go to re-education, you could be too. They could totally sit you down in a room and say, here's why you need to start signing off on people's deaths or get deplatformed, unlicensed, punished like Jordan Peterson. He has said from the beginning of this, he will do it and he will film it. Here's what he said when he was first told that he had to do this. Watch.
I am required to undergo the retraining. I will undergo the retraining. And I will tape it. And I will broadcast it. And then everyone else can decide. Then everyone else can decide for themselves just exactly what the hell's going on and whether or not I've contemplated my words, whether or not I've thought through everything I say carefully, whether or not I have any grounds for my opinions. You know, I don't say things that I haven't thought about.
Okay, so we should absolutely, given that he's going to be subject to this, watch the way they reprogram a psychologist, given that they've said they will reprogram doctors in order to get their mentally ill program for MAID up and running. Now, recently, Tucker Carlson was in Canada. He said that the MAID program is genocide. Here is that clip.
The government of Canada is killing Canadians, and not just a few and not just the terminally ill. Over 50,000 so far. 50,000! Any organization that kills 50,000 people is a genocidal organization. Period. And I don't care how you dress it up. That's just a fact. That's like a bottom line on a chart. How many people have you killed? Oh, 50,000. Oh. You're not in the good guy category. Sorry, we can't. We're going to bring you up at The Hague, actually, where you should be. And now, under consideration, apparently next month, is a plan to expand the MAID program, the systematic killing of Canadians, not all of whom are terminally ill, many of whom are just sad because Canadian society has made them sad. They're going to expand that to children. And that's the point at which you have to say, I'm sorry, we're not going to be polite anymore. You literally can't do that. And I don't care if someone, you don't need to be, by the way, a religious freak to think it's wrong for a government to kill people at scale. And I don't care, choice, they'll dress it up. No, it's totally evil.
All right, well, that is the therapeutic state, my friends, sucking in the mentally ill. We didn't even talk about children, which again, well, we did for a little bit, but they're still not exactly sure how to do that. So, you know, if you're a Canadian, you need to vote like your life depends on it because it just might. So yeah. Let us know what you think of that.
Yeah. And some people I had followed up. Yeah. So like, just so you understand, Malthusianism is born of the late 1700s, of course. And out of this idea of Malthusian theory is the idea that the population will just continue to grow exponentially, right? And it's this idea that the food supply will not keep up with that. So, of course, in the 1900s, there were all sorts of eugenics programs put into place to eliminate human beings, basically, because the food's going to run out. There's no evidence that that's going to happen at all, but that's still in place. And, of course, it's now morphed into transhumanism. We've seen it in the trans agenda. We've seen it in the biopharmaceutical complex. We see it in the MAID program, that it's never ended, right? It's continued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find this terrifying. So you have 3 years to tell the Canadian government to stop this, or else they're going to do it. They clearly are signaling they want to, and they don't ever make the case for why it's necessary because they have no data to show that it's necessary or good or helpful at all.
And just make sure you smile when you vote.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, we got more news to get to. We're going to talk about this Irish farmers' revolt. We should pay attention to what's happening in Ireland as the World Economic Forum and these globalists want them to cull hundreds of thousands of cattle in order to solve the climate crisis. Farmers are in revolt, of course, all over Europe right now.
That's exactly how I think we should tackle climate change, is just killing God's creatures.
Right. Well, yeah, we have Bill Gates wants to get rid of trees. Farms, uh-huh. Right? He wants to cut down as many trees as possible.
That's the way. This is the way.
Kill animals, cut down trees.
This is
brilliant.
Yeah.
And by the way, and throw soup on famous paintings like the Mona Lisa. That'll really cure problems. Really cure their problems.
Well, we're going to get to that in a second. But first, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Genucel. Because whether you have 3 minutes in the morning or 30 minutes, you can keep your face wrinkle-free with the Gen 90. That's the new instant wrinkle treatment from Genucel. It's the perfect Valentine's Day gift for your Valentine if they are into that kind of thing. Maybe no unsolicited
honey,
gifts like that, if they are already into this, fantastic gift.
Yes. Well, you and my daughter, you like love face creams. You and like you and Ava do like your little spa.
Like me, my nephew said to my daughter, "Did you want all those lotions for your birthday? Because I'd be pretty upset." But he's 11.
And she's like, "Yeah, I want that stuff."
Absolutely, I do. So make sure that your recipient loves this kind of thing like I do. Gen 90 instantly reduces the appearance of wrinkles anywhere you use it, around the eyes, the forehead, laugh lines, even the chin. And it starts working in seconds. At least one thing you don't have to worry about: your skin and your confidence. Gen 90 technology is luxurious, nourishing, and silky smooth. And it starts working in seconds. You'll know with a tingle. There's a reason why Genucel has 400% the customer loyalty of other skincare brands. Gen 90 is on special Valentine's Day sale now at Genucel.com, and it includes the bestseller package. But you have to go to Genucel.com/redacted. And for Valentine's Day, order Gen 90 with every most popular package, over 70% off. Also, you get free shipping and a Valentine's Day spa box with every order. So again, you get free shipping on all orders. Genucel.com/redacted. One more time, that's Genucel.com/redacted. Farmer protests continue to roll throughout Europe. Now, Ireland and England have joined the fight. Those farmers, though, are no longer in the European Union. So what do they want? How can they express solidarity with European farmers while also protesting their own plights? Biochemical engineer and corporate complex problem-solving expert Ivor Cummings joins us on this issue. He's been raising a lot of awareness about the regulations that are hurting working-class people in Ireland and abroad. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Natalie. Great to be back.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about what has happened to Irish farmers, not just this weekend or through the protests, but for months on months coming, why it's so hard for them and why they may feel solidarity with European Union farmers?
Yeah, so the war on farming, last year I did a video, the war on farming, when these protests broke out in Europe, and I gave some thoughts on it. So I've been watching it for many years. So many years ago, they used to give farmers money, basically from Europe, to get them to produce less of X or Y, etc. And it seemed a little bit wrong because it wasn't market forces, which I like. It was top-down, autocratic, kind of centralized government from Europe. So I didn't like that. But it was fairly benign. But now, of the last couple of years, especially since March 2020, it's massive escalation. They're going after the farmers across the world. It's quite apparent. And they're using, of course, the classic kind of canard climate. So I believe in Europe, they're using, particularly in the Netherlands, nitrogen. They've chosen nitrogen as their kind of distraction. And then they're using CO2 elsewhere, and they're using climate targets and you know, all of this kind of stuff. But it seems from the top, there's a relatively sudden interest in crushing farmers and in minimizing the production of real food locally and for local communities. So it seems very much, and I would guess, and it's almost certain, it's been identified now that as well as CBDCs for more control and COVID for vaccine passports and QR codes and all the other things we're well aware of, farming is seen as something to actually begin to minimize. And it's basically just helping them on a road to a more kind of 15-minute city type setup, which would be delightful. So let's move the masses into cities and departments. Let's have them tracked and traced, and let's feed them a pipeline of ultra-processed food from all our corporate buddies. And clearly, having lots of farmers locally producing real food, not processed junk, that doesn't really work with that agenda. So I think any listener can realize, that's the connection. Because of course, if you're promoting one thing, if you're smart, you always got to make sure you de-promote and remove the other options. And that's what we're seeing.
Right. So last year, the Irish government announced that they would cull, which means slaughter, 200,000 dairy cows over the next 3 years. On what data? Why? Why would they do this?
as always, built on nonsense. But they've got the nonsense written down, and it's got tags to the IPCC or the climate change kind of panel in the UN. So it looks kind of official. But I've interviewed several professors of climate science and atmospheric science already, and I'll be interviewing more. And they go through the actual data, and it's not there. So to give a quick example, one person, Coonan, Professor Coonan, made a great point, and he's a Caltech provost. So he's top. He was Obama's kind of scientific advisor. This is top of the heap. And he made the point that in the last century or so, the climate has moved up. You can argue about why, probably a natural cycle. It's moved up around 1.3, 1.4 degrees, let's say. And in that period, the planet has boomed. We've moved 90% reduced poverty. Our climate-related mortality and deaths has gone down around 90%. The GDP per capita across the world has gone up by a factor, I think, 7. That's my memory. And I could go on all day. So we've gone up 1.3 degrees and everything has got massively better, hugely better. And now we're saying 0.5 or 0.6 or whatever number you want to guess at in the next 50 years is going to suddenly make everything bad. It's palpably absurd. But yes, Natalie, they're using that simply as an excuse to do or to achieve the strategies that I mentioned a few minutes ago. So the coal of cows was fact-checked. I'll have to tell you, Natalie, it was fact-checked by Reuters or someone. And they said the Irish government did not stipulate that they have to remove 200,000 cows. They proposed potentially. So okay. You know the way the fact-check uses a kind of a fact element to actually discredit, but they pushed it. And our Minister for Climate and Energy, can you imagine having a Minister for Climate and Energy, two opposing things? He is an absolute idiot. And I can say this safely because I've been watching him for years. There is no way on this earth that a person like him, of obviously compromised intelligence, could get into a ministerial position when his party is 2 or 3% of the country's vote. The reason he got there is the reason a lot of them have got there over 20 years. Doors are open for certain useful idiots, and doors are closed against family people and stand-up people who want a national, sovereign, healthy nation. So over 20, 30 years, we end up with doofuses at the top, and they literally have a hand up their bottom. So he's the one coming out with this nonsense about 200,000 cows.
I don't know what idiot would say, oh, I love the planet so much, I want to kill some animals to help the planet. I don't understand that. Who buys off on that? Who is that stupid? Another thing that kills me is this idea of, yes, the planet has warmed, but we, once we get to a certain threshold, cannot stop it. And that's something Klaus Schwab has said, is that it will keep, we'll never be able to go back when we have proof that the Romans had an era of global warming. What did they do? Did they have a Paris Climate Accord? We should look into that, right? It's so stupid. I guess what I'd like to ask you as an Irish person is, what do you think that, what is it specifically that Ireland can do different? And does this actually help the European farmers that there is solidarity throughout, at least throughout the continent?
Yeah, Natalie. Well, solidarity always helps. And I've said since early on in COVID, the only thing that can help with this dystopian nonsense that, by the way, people should be well aware, this is all coming from a nucleus of largely wealthy, super wealthy, older Caucasian men. And they have women as well in there. But that's where it's all coming from. All the accusations of racism and all the other stuff we've gone through with the mass migration, it's all coming from wealthy Caucasian people. So people should keep that in mind. But your question was, what can we do? And the only thing is grassroots. The only thing are the farmers, the welders, the builders, the common sense people of the land recognizing that this is a coup. And the coup was set in motion in the 50s with Rockefeller Brothers Fund. They identified pandemics and climate disaster as very useful opportunities. In the 50s, they identified them with no scientists in the room. And 70 years of funding and growing the UN and growing the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, I could go on all day. They have, through a corporate, strategic, very well-run, you know, corporate thing, no conspiracy theory, they have managed to get all the right people in place in the right organizations. And the only thing that can push back against that now is exactly what you mentioned, protests and people coming together at grassroots level. And the reason is that, unfortunately, Ireland's politicians clearly and evidently, there is no question about this, now set our policies based on UN, EU, and kind of WEF or Bilderberg objectives. And that's why they've fallen completely out of touch with the people, because they get voted by the people with some smart talk about what they'll do for them. And when they get in, they immediately answer to the powers that be. So that's what we see. And recently we had a 76%, I think, said we have had too much uncontrolled immigration, and the government are still ramming it home. But why would they, when 76% of ordinary people in a top poll system, completely representative, are saying no, why would the government keep ramming it in? And the answer is quite simple and self-evident, because they're answering to someone who wants it.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah. Okay, I would like to bring our audience awareness of this 15-minute piece that you did about 4 months ago in response to an Irish documentary, which was the craziest, most dystopian thing I've ever seen in my life, but it was real. I'd like to play a little clip of it, but can you set it up? Tell us what this is, the fact that it was actually on TV, and how you almost fell out of your couch just with shock that they were saying all the quiet parts out loud.
Yeah, it was comical. I made the comment before we went on air that, and I said it in the video, if I wanted to make a parody video to lampoon and to make idiots of the insects and the climate stuff, this actual video that was put out as a real documentary would do fine. I would not need to change it. It was self-parody. It was absurd. But essentially, it was Ireland 2050. And in 2050, Ireland is going to have major cities moved inland. And they said that. They had panel interviews and discussions set in 2050. So it was like a mockumentary. And they were talking about how Curraghclough, an Irish beach, where it's nearly always raining, even in the summer, but you get some good days. In 30 years, that will always be raining in the summer, but you'll get some good days. There is no question about that. In 30 years, Curraghclough will be the exact same as it is now.
Shocking.
But they said it's now Costa del Curraghclough.
Okay.
I mean, it was just nuts. And then in the middle of it, as I watched it, I could not believe it. They had farmers who had no longer made milk because they said in 2050, oh, back in 2030, they brought in a fake milk that was just as good as the real thing and it cost half the price. So we had to give up making milk. But sure, it's for the best. Some old actor playing a farmer. But then they brought the daughter in who was an engineer. And she looked like she needed to engineer her diet, to be quite honest, and the father. In fact, all the actors were dreadfully unhealthy looking. But anyway, and she goes into a barn and the door opens automatically. And what are they doing in the barn that she switched over her father's whole farm? They're doing insects.
Oh, great.
So if I had a globalist bingo card to tick off any or all of their utterly absurd nonsense, I would have had a full card at the end of this documentary. That's how much of a ridiculous parody it was.
Will we soon see green helmets being sent in to enforce climate action? I'll have the news from New York as soon as it breaks.
How exciting. Will we see UN green helmets going in to enforce climate action? Well, we'll see. Happy Friday, folks. A documentary just went out. I got to share it with you. It's a real doozy on my country's prime television channel on primetime. And it was incredible. I mean, if you ever needed evidentiary proof of the colossal scam that's going on at the moment, to see this documentary, fully funded, slick, high production values going out on the main television channel to condition and propagandize the people of the country. This is it. You will in 2050 be facing the green helmets of the UN coming in to enforce. You know, just a little bit of conditioning there. So bizarre, so sinister.
Our climate has moved from being temperate. We now have the Costa de Coraclo, for example, which is a huge tourist magnet.
The Costa de Coraclo. For people outside Ireland, Coraclo is a beach that occasionally has sunny days in the summer. And in 30 years' time, right, it'll still occasionally have sunny days in the summer, mostly rain. It's not going to change in 20 or 30 years. We know that even from IPCC don't claim that, the official climate body. So this is utter propaganda, you know? Costa de Coraclo, he couldn't make it up. But they made it up. Sadly, many people will actually watch this nonsense, not realize it's pure anti-scientific propaganda, and they'll actually swallow it up. And that's why it's important that we get the message out on disgraceful kind of propaganda productions like this, because we need to let people know you are being duped at a colossal scale.
This is happening now. It's not just in the future, but if we look into 2075, what we're facing is terrifying. It means that children born today will be living in a society of sociological and ecological collapse. And really, the stakes couldn't be higher tonight.
Cara, Harry, thank you so much.
Cara, Harry, thank you so much for delivering such beautiful propaganda on behalf of our paymasters.
All right, you can watch the whole 15-minute reaction to this utter nonsense on YouTube or X. Ivar tells me that it's been demonetized on YouTube. That is not surprising. We had at least two climate-related pieces last week demonetized or downranked, because that's how it goes. So seek out freedom of speech platforms, everybody, please. Now, this week, you're going to be busy going to Irish Parliament to speak about excess deaths. Can we just pivot quickly away from the pandemic, or away from this these farmer revolts, and you tell us about that, and hopefully you can follow up later in the week, maybe if you're free.
Yeah, sure, Natalie. So briefly, I'm going there really as press, so I'm not deeply connected to the people or connected at all, but I did get the heads up. There's going to be a couple of press conferences. And I think at midday, they have got an actual room in the Irish Parliament, the Dáil. Senator Keoghan, who's a fantastic lady, got them in. And sure enough, as soon as people got wind of this happening, one or two of Ireland's mainstream newspapers did hit pieces. What did they say? Yada, yada, yada. Far right. Anti-vax. Always the same nonsense. But in any case, they're going in, I guess. What will happen is, like the English Parliament, when Andrew Bridgen went in, a lot of MPs and TDs won't turn up, but we'll see. But the key thing is the press conferences, and I'm going to be really interested to see, does any of the Irish press come and try and do a hit job, or will they just do what they did with me during COVID? They realize they can't interview me because I'm going to catch them out in every question, and they know it. So they just say, don't give them airtime. So I'm guessing they'll do the same with this. A few generic hit pieces with the trigger words far right, racist, and anti-vax, and then they'll walk away. But Andrew Bridgen's over. Christine Anderson, the member of European Parliament. Yes. She's a fantastic lady, yeah. And I get to meet her for the first time. I met Andrew in Sweden and interviewed him already. And there's another doctor lady, and Tess Laurie, I think. She's great. I met her in Portugal. So they're bringing four solid as a rock people, and it's going to be great to interview them and do some vox pops and just be there during the day.
Okay, well, we'll follow that. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking about this with Redacted. You can follow at Fat Emperor on X and also on YouTube as well. And we'll follow what you're up to for the rest of the week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natalie. Bye now.
That's going to do it for us at Redacted today. Hey, if you support your local farmers, and I know you do, you might want to check out our new Redacted t-shirt, No Farmers, No Food. We created this to support the movement because we support all working class people. We support all people, definitely all people. We also like food. We like the idea of survival. So if you support your local farmers, check out the Redacted store. You can find it at redactedstore.com, along with our other merchandise. And again, this very masculine shirt. You can wear it if you're not masculine too. All good. If you wear it in a feminine way, I want to see it. Send us your pictures. If you wear it in any way, wear it however you want. Check out our other stuff also, redactedstore.com. We'll see you here tomorrow, everyone. Thank you so much. Good night.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.